Thanks for downloading this podcast, which is for personal use only. All contents are copyright Radio Show Limited and must not be reproduced, rebroadcast, or used in any form without permission. For contact details, go to www.radiolemon.com. Nissan, the power behind the FIA World Endurance Championship on radiolemon.com. Nissan, we know sports cars.
We're at Sao Paulo at the Autodromo Carlos Pache and overlooking a packed pit lane in sunshine, but hazy sunshine in a relatively chilly temperatures compared to when we were here last year, which was 2 weeks later in the year. It's probably some 10 or 15 degrees Celsius cooler. As I look down slightly to my left, I can see the awesome Aston Martin squadron of five cars that are back here. And if you didn't catch up with us on Midweek Motorsport on Wednesday with Graham Goodwin of DailySportsCar.com, the fantastic news that Aston Martin will continue to field all five of those British Bulldogs for the rest of the FIA World Endurance Championship season. We've got a two-hour session ready to go. We have a screen of timing and a 90-minute session, ready to go in about 4 minutes' time. We do have a timing screen. We don't have any TV pictures or sound effects for you in this session, but we'll be working with our colleagues to do that. And a reminder that later on in this weekend, on Saturday, we will have RadioLeMond.com in sound and vision for qualifying for the first time in this FIA WEC season. We're powered by Nissan as we are getting ready for the first free practice session of round number four. Yes, only round number four of the FIA World Endurance Championship. It's John Heindorf with you, and just to my right, for his first time in the Southern Hemisphere, never mind in South America, welcome along to a very excited Joe Bradley. Hello, Joe.
And I'm hoping not to peak too early, John, but here in Brazil, it truly is a world championship, isn't it, when we come to places like Interlagos in Brazil, places just... You can just breathe the history. You
ringing
can just
wet
breathe
with history.
The motorsport culture that we've got here.
We came in this morning on the bus from our hotel, dropped us at the back of the paddock. The first thing you get to do is walk down the back of that paddock, which has not changed for very many years. And the first look at the track you get is that amphitheatre of the bottom half of the track. And that's pretty cool. But walking down to the centre S's, the first turn here, the first thing that you noticed and commented on was how steep it was, because no amount of watching on television down the years can convey that.
And what surprised me also about that particular corner of the centre S's, which is turn one here, is the sweeping turn entry that you've got to it. It's really, and it is Paddock Hill steep. It's Paddock Hill Brands Hatch steep, the that plunge downhill. But yes, I mean, walking out onto the, when the bus dropped us off at the back of the paddock, and you've got that amphitheatre feel when you're looking out onto the circuit, the current circuit. But also for me, what I could see was the outline of the old circuit, the circuit that we were familiar with seeing 1970s Formula One run round here, and of course...
And a lot of that's still there, of course.
And it's still there, and you can still see the outline of it, you can still see the tarmac there, and that's what I mean about a place like this. This is where we should be coming for a world championship.
Joe will be our powered by Nissan pit lane reporter once we get the links down to the pit up and running, which our colleagues here in Brazil are working on at the moment. Let's run through the whys and wherefores of who's doing what to whom if you haven't been with us. This is, as I said, the fourth round of the championship. We've not raced, of course, since Le Mans. There are three drivers tied at the top of the Drivers' Championship, and that is the number two crew of Alan McNish, Loic Duval and Tom Christensen. They're on 94 points, some 30 points ahead of André Lotterer, Benoit Treluer and Marcel Fesler, who sit in second place, just a point ahead of what is now the Singleton TSO30 Toyota, the Anthony Davidson, Sebastian Buemi and Stefan Sarrazin car, with the Alex Wurz crew having been pulled away to do development duties for next year's car. So it's a sort of bad news, good news. Bad news, they're not here. Good news, Toyota committed to the championship for next year. That's in the P1 category, of course. In P2, Bertie Bredstick, Bertrand Baguette with Martin Plowman and Ricardo Gonzalez lead the championship on 77 points. From 73 points, Cookie Monster, Alex Brundle, David Enemeyer Hansen and Ollie Plaar. And then 65 points for Luis Perez Compank, Nick Manassian and Pierre Caffer in the PCOM machine. In the GT AM drivers, it's Jean-Carl Vernet, Raymond Narak, who lead on 64 points from 57 points to Julien Canal and Patrick Bornhauser, and just a single point ahead of Christophe Bourret on 56 points. And Mark Lieb and Rickard Leitz, with Romain Dumas, leads the GT Pro category effectively on 72 points, 4 points ahead of Darren Turner and Stefan Munger. Now, of course, we won't see Romain Dumas any more this season. He has pulled off the GT to go and develop that fantastic looking, and if you haven't been watching the internet, there are some Porsche videos of fantastic looking and sounding, very four-cylinder turbo sounding Porsche LMP1 for next year, along with Romain Dumas. It will be Romain Dumas with
Weber,
Mark Weber, and
Timo Bernard
and Neil Jarny.
Yes,
are the four drivers that we know. I'm not suggesting how that will line up, by the way, but it will be those four. I started that and realised.
How would you line them up, John, if you had a choice? You've got two.
I put
three. Sorry, you've got three. You know, Neil Jarny.
I wouldn't break up Bernhard and Dumas.
Neither would I.
And I'd put Mark in with Yanni, and then add a driver to each of those cars.
Yeah, that's what I think that's probably how we're going to see that one pan out.
We're bereft at the moment, dear listener, of internet, as we have got cars on the circuit for the first time in this first round. Down into the Senna S's for the first time, cars are going past us now, and it's Ben Trelawney in the number one Audi from Tom Christensen in the number two, and Anthony Davidson just lurking at the exit of the pits in the number eight, the Singleton Toyota. At the moment, bright sunshine. What I haven't got at the moment, and have we got a TV remote there, Eve? We have. Let's have a quick look and see.
We've had a little bit of a talk and gesture of a track sweeping couple of sessions. We had, would you believe, Superbikes.
Yes.
Out this morning. They've swept the track in a very narrow kind of way. And then
well, they were quite wide.
There were some of them six wide.
Individually narrow, yeah. But as a group, quite wide. I looked up at one point while we were setting up this morning and just went, oh, goodness.
You took a step back. You took a step back.
The track temperature listed at 18.3 degrees Celsius at the moment, with the air temperature around about 19.5. Humidity is an issue always here at 63%, and I would say that's dropped a little since this morning. The haze that we've had all the way through our visits here in the past is visible in the distance, and we can't quite see back down into beyond the favelas and into Sao Paulo itself as we look over the top of the grandstands. Not the best view, in fairness, of the circuit in terms of what we can actually see from the commentary box, but we will be getting TV pictures later on the week, as will you, as out goes the Starworks Ferrari in front of me. There's also a slight issue in that we have been given the world's biggest TV monitors. I'm not complaining, but it does now mean I can't see the bit of track that we can see in front of us. I've got to stand on a box.
We've got four 47-inch plasma screens. I'm having to step back to focus on the timing screen.
That's because of your age, though, nothing to do with this.
Probably.
Size. Ollie Pla is out in the 24 Oak Racing car from James Walker in the 25. Roman Ruzanov in the 26. Kevin Weeder out in the Lotus. Both Lotus cars here, 31 and 32. Some debate about whether that would be the case. Kevin Weeder and Dom Kreiheimer, who's just gone up into third position there and splits some of the P1 times. Nothing competitive at the moment.
Still a green track.
Very green
track. Still a very green track. We're just feeling our way in.
Let's go through some of the other drivers who are out there. Fisichella in the 51 EF Corsa Ferrari. Patrick Pile in the 91 Pro Porsche, with Rickard Leitz in the 92. Those, of course, the two Porsche AG Team Manti cars. Winners of Le Mans. Seems a long time, Joe,
I know,
since we've seen cars out on track, doesn't it?
I had to remind myself that the last round was in fact Le Mans.
Yes.
And I can understand why the series has such a gap. It's quite a thing to come back off and recover from.
Well, also it's about transport.
And well, as well as that, yes, but it's also about repairing, because rebuilding those cars up from scratch completely after a grueling 24-hour race. Because it's not just a 24-hour race, it's a 24-hour race weekend.
The issue,
cars do get torn apart.
And for those who are wondering why, I said we get a helicopter landing in the distance there, into the Oh, it's not actually. It's just following a car. That's very, very low indeed. Yeah. If that's a TV.
We're in Brazil, mate.
Yes, okay. Health and safety not applicable. Yeah. Yeah, just a reminder that the cars were shipped here, and I mean shipped. They were put on large floating things, and it's cut the travel budget by some 50%, which is, you know, makes sense.
Considerable.
Just a reminder, we can't look at you on the Midweek Motorsport Listeners Collective at the moment because we don't have internet here in the booth, which is a shame because we had blisteringly quick internet last year. So apologies that we're not taking that on board at the moment, but good morning and hello, Collective. Had a quick word with Alan McNish. He did apologise profusely for not saying hello, Collective, on the BBC from Spa in Free Practice 1. He knew the error of his ways.
How rude.
Yeah, yeah. He said he'll make it up to the Collective in some way, shape or form. At Specutainment and at Radio Le Mans, the handheld devices are sporadically picking things up, so hopefully we'll be able to get a few of your tweets at least, but at the moment I'm afraid you're talking amongst yourselves on the Midweek Motorsport Listeners Collective, but that is absolutely fine.
It's not a problem though.
That's what the collective's all about.
Like-minded people coming together.
So Tom Christensen with a... Can you read that?
123.758.
You're guessing, aren't you?
No, mate. 123.758. And Trulli is 124.76.
And that's the last...
right, sorry.
Yeah, so that's...
What's
best
that
lap,
then?
Best lap and last lap, is it?
Isn't that current time?
I've got not a clue. This is that, oddly set up in a very, very bad TV. TV screen big, but not very clear.
Hang on. If we take a step back to the room next door...
If you just move to Argentina, I think we'll be able to see that perfectly. We've had just coming up to 7 minutes, in fact 7 minutes exactly, of this 1.5 hours session. Let's run through the cars that are out there at the moment and have done some kind of lap. The number 2 and 1 Audi, Christensen and Trelluier. Dominic Kreiheimer in the 32 Lotus with a 31.4. Porsche's 92.91, Ferrari 51. And 61, the best of the AM cars at the moment. The 99 Aston Bruno Senna, appropriately enough, being given the honour of taking that car out first time.
That's nice. Now, that's nice to see. I just saw that name pop up on the timing screen there, John, and I thought, what must that kid be thinking there? You know, his uncle is such a godlike figure in this part of the world.
And as we drove through Sao Paulo yesterday from the airport, the Senna... monument and memorial at the main
That's
park
right.
above the tunnel that we went under.
There's
bit of modern art there.
Senna boulevards and Senna streets.
Absolutely.
And Senna Rue to Ayrton Senna. But that must be phenomenal. I'm looking forward to speaking to him and getting his thoughts and the emotion behind him being here.
Nicky Team is in the Aston Martin number 95, I think that is. Yes, it is. That timing screen, we need to get that something. Little bit better. Nicky Team, of course, with I'm sure slightly heavy heart, is the Dane that has stepped in to replace the irreplaceable Alan Simonsen. And at Spa, he was saying at Spa Formula One when he was doing the Mobiline Super Cup, the Porsche Mobile One Super Cup, was saying that he had very mixed feelings. He was delighted to have. Had the call,
yes, but
and get the drive. Eve, can you pop that door open, please?
Under the circumstances.
But under the circumstances, clearly, you know, not the way he would have liked to get that drive. But we salute him and Aston Martin and the rest of the team for getting that car back onto the grid. Christophe Bourré in the number 76 Porsche. Rui Aguash is out in the 81 Ferrari. Anthony Davidson has just done one lap. James Walker out in the Orica, number 25. Jacques Nicolet in the 45 Morgan Oak. Tracy Crone takes the 57 Ferrari out in the early going. Let's just see who else has been out. Just checking that there's no other messages on there. Pedro Lamy is out on the circuit as well. I saw his name there for a moment. Okay. And let's go back to our first timing screen. Christensen's time still the best. That down to a 23.758. Yeah, you're right. That is the fastest time, isn't it? And the current time
that's
the one
that's
further
the
along.
Current fastest time, and that's the
the issue the is when it goes across. Purple, you can't read it on that
no,
far
you
side.
Can't. But
we do get sector times, though.
If it goes purple, though, it'll appear in this best overall time.
Yes.
Which is better? Which is a different colour on the screen.
We do get sector times here, which will help when we're doing the qualifying, which, remember, is our aggregated qualifying, two drivers, two laps, average. Right, so you have to be able to work that out in your head as you go along.
Oh, it shouldn't be a problem. Okay. I've got my slide rule.
You managed to get that into the country, did you?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to tell you how.
No, no, obviously.
You're giving away this few secrets.
You're listening to RadioLeMans.com. We're exclusively live from the Autodromo Carlos Pache here at Interlagos, Brazil, for round four of the FIA World Endurance Championship, powered by Nissan. And it is just so good to see and hear. Apologies, you're not getting the full oral sensation of the cars coming through. We have got the doors open as we stand on tiptoes and watch there. Starworks Ferrari going a little bit slowly there. As that
again,
went
this session, John, is just
the,
about...
Sorry, the 8-star Ferrari. God,
it's not
all,
this session's not about how fast you can go ultimately around this track. This session is about feeling your drivers in, feeling the car in. Remember, they've been on a boat for 5 weeks. They've had a rebuild. The guys will have been putting the final touches to the
Well, this
to,
is the first time the cars will have rolled.
Have rolled, yeah.
Actually, I say that, and I'll correct myself straight away. It's the first time they've rolled on a racetrack in a fantastic piece of PR on... Oh, yeah. Wednesday, or was it even Tuesday, some of the early birds here were put on trailers and taken down to the city centre of Sao Paulo, somewhat half an hour, 40 minutes from where we are at the moment, and they ran in the streets to...
It was a display, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they did drive the cars.
Yeah, they drove.
In the old American Le Mans series. Remember when
right,
we did
it
in Portland?
A few cities, yeah. That's a great idea, taking the cars to the people. Great,
fantastic.
Great promotion.
Absolutely fantastic.
And there's nothing better than these cars being seen in a street street environment. Just the race cars, especially the GT cars.
Oh,
obviously,
yeah.
We see these cars on the road, but to see the race...
I think it's quite sexy, if I'm honest.
I think it's awesome.
I think it's quite sexy.
I remember the street races we had in the American Le Mans series, mate. They were very sexy.
So there are 28 cars here, and we've had 24 that I can tell you have done a lap. Let's just have a quick flick through and see. Our second timing screen, rather annoyingly, is not the second timing screen, if you see what I mean. It's one of the other screens, and we're still... Oh, we've got an onboard. How fantastic. Onboard with Anthony Davidson. Heading around the middle part of the lap at the moment. Now that's very exciting.
That looks fantastic. Our first glimpses of TV pictures.
And he's got the Rebellion
the track.
Number 12 in front of him. And I can't tell you at the same time who's on that car, as we only have one screen working at the moment, but that is about to change in the merest hint of time.
People working feverishly. Turn that off.
So I think he's saying, can he turn that off? Is that what he's
yeah.
saying? Well, yes, if he has to do it. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, fine. So we will have no screens for a little moment.
He's working feverishly.
No, it's good. I like it.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Again, the championship, John, I know you mentioned it first off. What's your thoughts on Toyota? For me, I can't help but think Toyota have kind of just thrown the towel in. They've kind of like gone... Well, Audi are a bit unbeatable this year, so we're going to concentrate on next year, so we'll reduce our...
It was always said from Toyota that they were only entering one car for the full season.
Ah, right.
And we all got rather excited when two cars turned up at the... I was rather hoping there's going to be a track map in here. Very, very excited when there were two cars... up until Le Mans, but only one of them, of course, was the full series entry. And as I said at the start of the programme, Joe, I think it's the good news, bad news thing. Are we disappointed that Toyota aren't here? Yes, of course. But there is, of course, a B-side to that, in that they are getting ready for next year. and that's the issue.
Yeah, and next year is going to be quite a year. Because we're going to have three big hitters, aren't we?
Well, yes, with Porsche coming back, of course.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be quite a series.
So we've got cut pictures here now. Oh, we could have just watched the big screen, Joe. So now what we can do is put that back on one. And we're getting pictures of the 97 Aston Martin at the moment, which is the Mucker and Turner car sitting down in 12th. Sitting down in 13th position, but leading the GT hordes, and it is Stefan Mucker at the wheel of that car at the moment. It's Christensen, Trelluier, Davidson, 2-1 and 8, the three works cars at the top, with Matthias Best, the best of the rest in the Lola.
Interesting. We saw from the TV there how the number two Audi got held up quite considerably by the Aston. And the configuration here at Interlagos is we've got a very tight infield with very slow hairpin turns, and then the circuit opens up, as we know, and opens up into this bowl, and very fast, low drag configuration needed for the fast straights on across the start finish straight. But the rest of the circuit, it's asking a lot of driver discipline, I think, is what we're going to see in the race from all classes. We're going to have to see patience from the LM drivers when they're coming up onto the GD cars, and we're going to have a very alert GT field to not get in the way and trip the main LMP runners up. I think we're going to see a lot of incident here.
So Tom Christensen in the number one, in the number two car, Ben Trelluier out in the number one. If you haven't done it already, then do get on to spotterguides.com. Andy Blackmore with the usual genius work for RadioLeMans.com and in association with Nissan, as we are now 17 minutes actually into this one and a half hour session. The Labra competition Corvette right opposite us, pitted right opposite the pits at the moment, still in shade, at least the inside lane of the pit lane, that where the work is going on, the acceleration lane on the other side of that bright red band, the delineates, being a Formula One pit lane, delineates the difference between the working area and the acceleration lane. Well, the further away from us, still in the shade of the pit buildings themselves, in comes one of the Aston Martins, and that is Pedro Lamy in the 98 car, who is coming through into the pits at the moment.
Nothing between the Audi and the Toyota so far, John, and time-wise, we've got Christensen in the number two Audi on a 23.056, and we've got Anthony Davidson in the number eight Toyota on a 23.187. So very close at the moment, so track conditions beginning to come, I would think, and I think we've got a lot of time left in these cars. Perfect conditions, really.
It's overcast, but not too warm.
Well, it's, I wouldn't say it's overcast even.
Hazy.
We've got blue sky. It's hazy, and that's probably from there are probably pollution reasons as to why it's hazy. If you look across to the downtown part of Sao Paulo from here, you can see there's like a misty haze in the air, and that's no doubt being burnt off by the early morning sun.
Yes.
It still is before midday here. We're coming up to 25 past 11 a.m. And you can feel the temperature, the ambient temperature, beginning to lift. However, there's still a coolness in the air. So the air's as thick as it's perhaps going to be. I think we're at altitude here. We're not the air isn't as thick as we would normally expect it. But the thin air is being thickened by the current coolness of the season. We're still in winter here in the Southern Hemisphere. So
But it is the dry season.
And it's the dry season.
Yeah, winter is dry here, the summer is damper. Ricard Leitz out in the Porsche, number 92. Slightly different colour scheme on that car. Just been tweaked slightly, I would say. Is that still celebrating the 50th anniversary? I need to see it from above. Yes, it is. As it comes through the final corner here and up a considerable hill onto the start-finish line. and into the centre S's. Should have watched it as it went past.
Yeah, just went underneath us there.
Yeah, 911 at 50 with the red and white stripes on the top of that car. Out of the pit lane, just joining is one of the AF Ferraris. That is the 51 car of Jimmy Bruni now at the wheel. Just noticed as well, all of the cars, or sorry, I don't know if it's all of the cars, but certainly the Porsche there had a Danish flag on the front and the side of it to remember Alan Simonsen.
So is it the GT field that are running that
possibly
tribute?
I'll have to have a closer look at some of the other cars, Joe.
I think there was a Danish flag on that LMP2 car.
Let's have a look at the Delta ADR, the 25 car that we're seeing here. Todd Graves, James Walker and Robbie Kerr.
Yes, there is at the back.
Yeah, so it looks like everybody.
A bit of a tribute.
Which is entirely appropriate, of course. We are all sports car fans and we are all still Danes at this point of time. As we have more and more of the cars heading out onto the start-finish line, onto the circuit rather. And I've got a feeling, Joe, that pretty much everyone's been out. If I just skim through.
I think so. We've got a pretty full timing screen there, John. I think that's pretty much the whole field. We've got a change at the top. Just driver name. It's the same car. So it was Christensen's time that puts that number two Audi at the top of the field. Time hasn't changed. Still at 23.056. The other Audi is currently lying third in session, the number one, with Trullier at the wheel with a 23.412. So, and then we've got the Rebellion Lola with Besh at the wheel. That's on a 27.1. So quite a spread. Well, a spread of 4 seconds between the Audis, the Toyota, and the Rebellion Lola. P2, as you would expect, is pretty tight at the moment. Olivia Pla in the number 24 Morgan is on a 28.398, and Pierre Kaffa in the number 49 Orica is on a 28.933. So quite a gap at the front of that, but again, this session not really that significant when it comes to ultimate times. The track is pretty green, very dusty here. It's a very dusty environment because of the dryness of the climate. We've got a very dusty track, and of course we've got no rubber down, so we'll be getting, as the weekend progresses into tomorrow and then Sunday, the track is going to come to everyone. I think the weather forecast is good. We are in dry season, and when I say
it's much hotter at the weekend,
and it's going to get hotter. And when I say it's winter here, for all of our listeners
in Europe
and especially the UK, cleanse your mind of all things UK winter.
Oh hell yes,
this is like a July day.
Yeah,
the temperature already into the 60s, I believe. So it's very pleasant. It's t-shirt and shorts weather.
It's getting up towards 20 degrees Celsius now.
Not necessarily lie by the pool weather, but it's certainly pleasant with a nice little breeze to make it nice and fresh, not too humid at the moment. That's going to change in the weekend, where we're going to be seeing the conditions becoming a little bit hotter. That's going to bring, I would imagine, tyres as ever into play.
Just watching the Ferrari going down the straight out of the pit lane. This is the 71 car of Kibiwi Kobayashi. And this is the car with the Italian tricolour down the middle of it. Heading down the hill now towards the lake turn, and just as he was about to turn into the left-hander, we're back in the pit lane with G-Drive for a moment at least. That this centre section of the circuit, Joe, we were talking before we came on air about the compromise required here. It's effectively Monza and Monaco, because the middle part of the circuit is actually almost like a straight track. You want bags of mechanical grip, and then you've got to be trimmed out for that long run up the hill, across the start finish line, down into the centre S's, and that other long run through the Curva de Sol and down the hill toward the lake turn as well.
if you haven't got the car trimmed out, and we'll, once we get down there and we start talking to teams, we'll get their thoughts on it from the engineer's perspective. But my estimation and my perception would be that if you don't trim your car out for these straights, you're going to get mugged at the end of them.
Yes.
And then you're not going to have enough to claw it back in the tight bit. So you are, from a driver's perspective, you are going to have a slippery car, slipping and sliding around, having to modulate the throttle and watch your traction in the twisty bits in the middle of the track, purely because you need the top speed down the straights.
Looking at the first time we've had a look of Bjorn Werdheim in the Greaves Motorsport car, which he shares this weekend with Christian Ziegel, no shock there. But Gunnar Jeanette back into the WEC, Gunnar recovering from a remarkably bizarre incident.
Isn't that Gunnar at the wheel there? Black helmet, silver trim?
No, it's well, if it is, he's got the wrong driver tag on. Gunnar recovering from a remarkable incident. He's a man who loves his what's the word I'm looking for?
Motor racing?
No, extreme sports. And he was doing a skydive, and not one but two of his, both of his parachutes failed, and he was in a flying squirrel suit, he was aiming for the roof of the hangar to break his fall, but he actually hit some high tension power lines instead, which broke his fall and broke his leg.
When was this?
Just before or just after Le Mans, and he's back in a race car.
Wow.
So magic stuff. Yes, I know he's here. He's on the entry list. Yeah.
Yeah, he's and in a safe environment in that race car.
Yeah, much safer than the money's used to. And so good to see Gunnar back in that car. 32 also out at the moment on the circuit is the second of the two Lotus cars, Thomas Holzer, Dom Kreiheimer and Jean Charouse. And it is Kreiheimer at the wheel of that black Praga sponsored machine. Just heading down into the Lake Turn area now, and Eve puts her thumb up, presumably to tell me she's got some internet, and she nods. So stand by on the collective, and apologies again that we haven't been paying full attention to you. We haven't got his page two of the timing, have we?
I'm trying to get that now, mate.
Oh, yeah. Out at the moment is Bruno Senna, sharing with Rob Bell this weekend. A story there, I would have thought, in that Rob asked an Aston Martin driver this weekend, but a McLaren works driver, sharing with the 29-year-old Paulista. Star signs Libra for Bruno Senna, just in case you were interested. It's right on the cusp between Libra and Scorpio. It's interesting, that.
Is it?
Yes. Interesting characteristics.
Yes. Uh-huh. What will that bring you? Where's his aspect?
You know what your aspect is, don't you? It's what you get when you bend down the chicken run.
The old bum. He's here all week, folks.
Thank you. Stuart Hall, no, not that one, out in the 21 car for Aston Martin at the moment. He was very excited about coming here, and Aston Martin, Audi, number of the other teams all out at the famed Brazilian steakhouse restaurants, of which there's a couple around Sao Paulo, and we saw the guys from Porsche and Audi at the same one that we were at last night.
Far too much meat.
There's no such thing.
I know there's no such thing, but I'd experienced such a thing.
And John De Geest, by the way, remarkable competitive eating competition. He's your man. He is your man. I've seen no one put away. He must have put a herd of cows away last night.
He's more of an endurance racer when it comes to his meat eating, isn't he? Whereas I was a little
I thought he'd gone off too fast.
I was a little bit F1, where it was all over very short.
Yeah,
very
that's always been the same with you. I've heard people say that my life before. Yes.
But John was he just kept on going, didn't he?
Loic Duval now in the lead Audi, 1:23.0.
That's still the Christensen time.
No, it's not. That's a faster time than Christensen.
No, Christensen put that time in it. So he improved
his original time then?
Yes, he did.
Right, okay, sorry. Because that wasn't the time that was quickest earlier. He's Loic Duval going through in a 23.1. 23.187 for Ant Davidson. Ben Trelawney, 23.4. His fastest time. He's just come into the pits, actually. Matthias Besch in the Singleton Rebellion. So it's Prost, Heidfeld and Besch, Hop Suisse, in those three cars.
Here, Kaffer just across the line, John.
In the Pecom car, yes. Yeah. Still in with a chance of the championship, of course.
He's gone up to, I think he's just...
second in class.
No, I think he was already there. That time there, 1:31, he got held up quite a bit.
The Rebellion, of course, just one of the Rebellions here. And again, the same story as Toyota, really. The car running the rear wheel arch extensions into the back wing. And I'd say that was the high downforce front end from the... Yes, it's got the double deck dive planes on it as it's in behind the 57 Ferrari at the moment, going through the centre section of the circuit. Again, Bart Hayden splitting his team's resources between racing to the end of the season in a championship where they are the only competitors now, of course, in the Privateers Championship, defending their FIA World Privateers Championship in P1. And getting next year's car ready. They have committed to the 14 LMP1. In GT Pro, it's Ricard Leitz from Kimi Kobayashi in the 92 and 71 Porsche and Ferrari. Then Porsche of Pile, the 91 car. The both of the Porsches are pitted at the moment. Stefan Mucker is out in the 97 Aston. Bruno Senna's brought the 99 Aston to pits, and Jimmy Bruni has the 51 Ferrari in sixth position in the pro category. But as you might expect around here, times are very close, with Ricard Leitz's best in the GT pro category, a 1:34.2 against Bruno Senna's 1:35.1, so less than a second between the top six. In fact, Jimmy Bruni with a 35.1 as well. In the AM, Christoph Nygaard in the 95 Aston Martin, from Stuart Hall in the 96. Fernando Reis has got that Chevrolet out and running now, from Marco Ciocci in fourth place in the 61 Ferrari. Saw Jack Gerber and Matt Griffin at breakfast this morning, both looking raring to go. Be speaking to Matt Griffin on Midweek Motorsport in the coming weeks, splitting his time between 16 different championships at the moment, the affable Irishman. Been trying to. I went and knocked on his door about three times in the last 4 weeks, and each time I've gone there, he's been off racing somewhere, trying to get an interview from him about his win at the Spa 24 Hours, of course.
Well, he's doing well as a race driver to be involved in so many programmes.
Well, that's the thing you want to be, don't you? Want to be busy.
Absolutely.
Busy is the word for racing drivers. You're listening to RadioLeMans.com, our WEC, FIA WEC programming brought to you, powered by Nissan. We know sports cars. John Hindorf and Joe Bradley in the booth overlooking the start finish line at the Autodromo Carlos Pache, Sao Paulo, or just, I was going to say on the outskirts of Sao Paulo, but the outskirts of Sao Paulo in Rio de Janeiro, it goes that far.
Yeah, it's a big city. It's a
as
big
we flew
sprawl.
In, as we flew in on the brand new Boeing 747-300EW, very nice plane, one of the new American Airlines fleet. Although I have to say there was a few glitches.
I think that was probably the lightning storm.
Ironically, it took your entertainment and Dave's entertainment out. I was worried that anything else electrical might not be working.
Yes, yeah.
You only find that out when you come into land, don't you?
Yes. If you look at the old pictures from here, going back to the 70s and earlier, the circuit, outside of the circuit, there is nothing. It's just land. It's just empty land. Now, you've got urban sprawl right up to the front gate, and around, and everywhere you look, just beyond the fence and the perimeter fence of the circuit boundaries, there are the city, the town is there. There are houses. It's an amazing sprawl, and you certainly get a feeling that you're in a very, very large city when you are travelling through Sao Paulo, and all you ever seem to do for hours travelling from one side to the other is just an immense experience. I can't find timing two.
No.
Which is going to give us, I think, the last four or five, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's the issue.
Still no change at the top from the Audi boys. Still, we've got an Audi, Toyota, Audi in the top three. Times are exactly as they were in the first, after the first 30 minutes of the session. There is 54 minutes left of this first practice session.
Hour and a half, of course, second hour and a half this afternoon, then an hour tomorrow before qualifying. And then the race, qualifying Saturday, race Sunday. It is put back a day this year. We raced on Saturday last year, if you remember. And Emerson Fittipaldi and the group that promote this event asking for a Sunday race. And in fact, the television... Oh, there's a spin there for... I think that's Kevin 31. Weeder in the 31, isn't it?
Yes.
This is the Lotus coming out of the Senna S's, just got onto the Brazilian flag-coloured kerbs, which are very much still the Formula One overlaid kerbs, which is actually quite bumpy.
They're very, very bumpy. I've been noticing
looks,
that.
They look really like flagstones that are
shaking the car up.
Yeah.
That Lotus of Weeder there, he got away with that quite without any real incident. The car was fine. He spun onto the hard asphalt runoff that is on the outside of the Senna S, and he's pirouetted I think a couple of times, and then he's managed to get a gear and he's continued. Didn't look like outwardly like there was much of an issue there. However, who knows what's being caused to the underside of that car over those very rough and bumpy curbing. These cars running diffusers and all bits of aerodynamic stuff underneath the car, so remains to be seen whether or not he's damaged anything.
I've got a very tidy timing screen, which regular listeners will know I do like. The four prototype one cars are all in the pit lane, and the red numbers 2, 8, 1 and 12 are at the top. And then we have the P2 field, I think.
Yes, we have.
Nine cars.
Yeah.
There's one missing from that. 24... 35, 49, 26, 32, 41, 25, 31 and 45.
Is it 25?
No, that's there. I tell a lie, all nine of them are there. Then the pro field, which is six, seven cars strong. So we've got one pro car missing, which I am going to suggest is 99, 98, 97 Aston Martin,
99.
There's one of the Aston's missing. It's the 98 Aston that I can't see there, and unfortunately I can't tell you whether that's done a lap at the moment from that screen, but with a bit of lateral flickery I can tell you that it hasn't done a lap, that car.
It's got Richie Stanaway plugged in.
Yeah. It's, well, I say it's done a lap, but its last lap was 6 minutes around, so...
Is this Richie Stanaway's first sports car race?
I knew when you mentioned that.
He's come back off injury, hasn't he? He was out for a lot of the season.
I knew when you...
Last year.
...mentioned that. And just do me a favour and turn that other screen round a little
sure.
bit. And then we can get a useful screen on there. Thank you. And I'll put the weather on there. Temperature is rising, 21.1 now in the air, 18.9 on the track, so a good couple of 3 degrees since has gone up. And an issue for the 81, which is Marco Chiocci, who was crossing the pit entry line. Well, he's in the pit at the moment. No, that's the 61, sorry, that's the 8-star car. So who was in that car most recently? That was Rui Aguash as he came into the pit lane. Now, does that mean he turned in too late, or he was turning across it going through the final corner, but everybody does that here, don't they?
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was
scares the living whatnots out of me.
It's accepted practice.
It really scares me, the entry to the pit here.
So are we going to start seeing penalties being issued for...
Now, you haven't seen a WEC race, or you haven't been at a WEC race other than Le Mans this year, and what you'll find is that Eduardo Freitas... We must have a word with Eduardo and find out what race stewards do for their summer break. does he go off and steward other things in his spare time? You will find that he will set his stall out very, very early. Really? And he will let people know clearly what is and isn't acceptable. And that's very useful, because then there's no surprises when you get around to qualifying or race day.
I think all people ask for is consistency.
Yeah.
In any kind of rule making or in any kind of sport, is consistency in application.
Yes.
So, and especially there, because there is a massive advantage of cutting that corner and entering what is effectively the pit entry road.
Mm-hmm.
As you come onto the start finish straight, you are going to pick up a lot of time. It's on a steep incline, so you want to make the road as short as possible. So there is an advantage. So if you are going to penalise someone, you need to have consistency and just have that out of bounds. Are we talking about four wheels or two wheels allowed, John? I think they allow two wheels in there. It's when you put the whole car in there.
Where?
On the pit entry.
Everybody's all four wheels over. Everybody's all four wheels over. You watch.
I know.
Everybody's all four wheels over.
That's why I was surprised
to
see.
Pit exit. You've, you know, well, watch the 76 of Raymond Narak coming through the final corner now. There is a chicane halfway up the hill now that the bikes use.
Motorcycles.
And here he comes. He turns into the last part of the right hander now. And that was all four wheels in the pit lane. Now, we've got an Aston Martin coming through. There's the Rebellion doing exactly the same.
Yeah, that is all four wheels.
Completely. And barely getting out of the pit lane before the blend line ends and becomes the cross-hatching.
Yes.
That's
the whole field.
What we need to do is have a word with Eduardo at lunchtime.
We've just had half a dozen cars come through that section of track onto the start finish straight, and every single one of them was four wheels inside that pit entry lane.
Now, who is in the Toyota at the moment? It's Anthony Davidson getting back to his day job as he carves his way past a gaggle of pit cars. He goes all four wheels into the pit exit. And again, I mean, that's fine when there's nobody there. The more important thing is there's nobody coming out the pit who pulls out. Hemel Hempstead lad, of course, on the A414.
Isn't that more for people exiting the pits and not being allowed to come out rather than...
Absolutely.
Whilst when you're on the track, that's not out of bounds.
Front end of that Toyota looking very planted for Anthony Davidson as he turns into the serpentine section in the middle of the circuit. And good morning to you if you are on the collective. Good afternoon if you're in Europe. There's not a chance I can read those names on there.
For the names of the corners?
Yeah.
No, not a chance.
That's Sol Corner. That's Lake Corner. I remember that. That's the Senna S's. These. Pointing on radio always works, I think. Halfway through the session, as the teams are being told that the pit entry light has been pushed on to closed at the moment, but that is just a test, so you can still come into the pit lane if you want to. I'm going to venture that we've had everybody other than... as I say that, the Richie Stanaway Aston Martin has just done another lap, and in fact he's now done 15 laps, and I think we've had everybody out. As our TV pictures have just gone very... Now they've come back much clearer. I don't know what they did there, but now we appear to have HD, which is much nicer. So let me see. We've had 8 AM cars. Tick them off. 7 pros. Yep.
It's the whole field out.
Nine and four. Yeah, everybody's
been
out.
Across the beam.
Yeah, everybody has done it. In fact, now getting into double figures.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody.
see who's only done fewer. No, everyone has done double figure laps now, so that's all good news. You're listening to RadioLeMans.com. Good morning. Or hello, I should say. Aware that whilst it is still just morning for us, you are listening on various time zones at the moment, in front and behind us. It's bright and sunny, not quite as bright as the HD cameras are making it seem on our TV screens at the moment. There's a haze down to the far side of the circuit from us, but blue skies and a little bit of
it is cloud. Really bright out there. It's just you've been in this little box all morning.
Is he?
It is. It really is bright out there.
Sure, yeah. Right. I forgot we have very tinted windows.
We've got tinted windows. I'll take you out in the sun later.
No, I'm staying here. Staying there? Very happy. And it's Loic Duval now, who is behind the wheel of the number two Audi, which has the fastest time at 23.056, which Tom Christensen put in this morning. Anthony Davidson has been the only Toyota driver in the only Toyota. The TSO30 is a singleton entry now, of course. And he's just over a tenth of a second behind that time with a 23.1. 23.4 is the best for the Audi number one. Both Audis in the pits at the moment. Howden Haynes is the overarching engineer this weekend. And as I look to Eve, she will remind me who is on which cars. Lena on one and Kyle's on two. Thank you.
And H is overseeing both overall engineering strategies.
Yes. That's correct.
We had a lovely picture there, John, of the two AF Corsa Ferraris coming out of the Curva de Sol and heading down the back straight in kind of team formation.
Yeah.
A bit like the Red Arrows. It was evocative.
The AF Corsa cars, of course, with the... Of Corsa, perhaps I should have said. With the flag colours of the individual entries on them. So the Jack Gerber car has got the flag of South Africa on it. We did have the Brazilian car here last year, the Brazilian flag on one of the cars last year, which I thought looked great. AF Corsa running just the three cars here. Two Italian, all Italian entered, of course.
Two in the Pro Class, one in the Pro-Am.
Yes, Marco Ciocci with Matt Griffin and the South African Jack Gerber in the 61 in the Am Class, sitting in third at the moment, and Jack is out in the car. And the two in the Pro Class, 51 and 71, Jimmy Bruni and Giancarlo Fisichella. You might have heard of those two. They did some single-seater stuff that you used to follow.
Names do ring a bell.
Yeah.
They're third and fourth at the moment.
They could have a future in this.
Yeah, I think so.
And the 71 car is another one of those ex-single-seater drivers, this Kamui Kobayashi chap and Tony Wielander.
No slouch, either of those.
No, absolutely. Hardly, in fairness, you couldn't poke a stick at any of those, could you, really?
No. Who would you like in your car, sir? Any one of those will do, thanks.
And Jack Gerber, in fairness, you know, gentleman driver, makes no bones about the fact. But you look at the gentleman drivers now in the AM category, and that it's the same in the P2 category. Though that's where the differences are between the cars. The consistency of the gentleman drivers, not necessarily the outright speed, the consistency.
There is a whole program of debate there, John, with regards to the Pro-Am class and what is and isn't a gentleman driver.
Mm.
And I mean from a sense of competitiveness.
I should possibly take out the word gentleman and say silver driver, silver ranked driver.
Yes, because there aren't any slouches.
No.
In this field.
I did notice that there is a LMS race this weekend at Baltimore, and Anthony Lazzaro, who's a gold driver in the FIA rankings, has been recategorised by IMSA as a silver driver, so he can be the silver driver in the ESM Ferrari since Guy Cosmo's the ESM P2 car, since Guy Cosmo has left to go and drive with Ryan Briscoe, who's the guy who punted him off at Lime Rock. So that's going to be an interesting little family dynamic going on there.
Absolutely. But Anthony Lazzaro was a silver driver.
No, he's not. He's a gold driver in the FIA.
How on earth does Anthony Lazzaro get classified as a silver driver in the States? We first met him in 98 when we did the inaugural petite.
And that is a question that only IMSA can answer.
He was a renowned, respected and experienced driver then, in 98.
There will always be debate about the driver rankings, but for anyone who's ever listened to the gold standard of explanations of the precious metals that are the drivers when Nick Damon did it a little while ago, not a lot has changed actually. The way the FIA do it and the ACO do it is set down and is on performance in particular categories of racing and the results that you have achieved. At the very top, once you go over a certain age, you come out of platinum on an age related basis. So
Warren Hughes.
No, he's not old enough. If you're an XF1 driver or you've won Le Mans, but you are over 50, I think it is, and somebody on the collective will correct me if I'm wrong, you automatically come. So Stefan Johansson, for example,
right,
he's dropped down from a platinum driver, he's now a gold driver.
Right.
Okay. But I don't think he ever goes down to a silver unless he's 106 or something.
He shouldn't be going down to a gold until they're nailing him in a box.
Well, exactly. But there's an age component to it, is what I'm saying. But other than
advanced
years.
It's not subjective, it's a definitive criteria.
So, for example, if you have finished in a certain position in GP2, if you have won Le Mans ACO races, then you are going to be classified as a platinum. You don't change mid-season. So if you are categorised at the start of the season as a bronze, silver, gold,
your results of that year will go into next year and where you'll be recategorised.
Yeah. And that is how it works. So Anthony Nizzaro, for some reason, has been recategorised by IMSA as a silver driver.
And is that because of a lack of participation in the series? Or
it's not meant to be like that, but I'm sure there will be some criteria that IMSA will point to for that, but it does seem a bit strange for me. But I don't have to talk about that this weekend, so it's easier.
Yeah, that is. We're on the nosy here this weekend at Interlagos, though. We've got a fabulous field.
Just under 38 minutes to go. This hour has flown by. Eduardo Freitas has just told the drivers pit entry line is invisible if on a quick lap, but is a concrete wall if they are coming into the pits. Okay, I understand that. I understand what they're saying.
He's leaving that a little bit grey for race drivers to get their head round.
No, it means you can't do a very, very late turn into the pits when you're pitting.
Right,
but
right.
If you're on a fast lap, you can use it.
That makes sense.
Yes.
So if I'm coming into the pits, I've got to get in early at the
and
entry
let everybody know
to
that
where
you
that
go.
Line starts.
Correct.
And then once I've committed to that,
you've got to stay in there.
I stay in there.
Correct. But if you're on a fast lap, you can use that bit of the track.
Right.
I have no idea how Eve's just found that out, but she has.
She got connections.
Oh, she has connections. Absolutely. We'll set up a Skype chat to the pit wall.
Is that air temp going up, John?
Oh, yes, it is.
21 and a half now.
Yeah, we started, if you remember, just under 19.
Yeah.
The track temperature's not rising that much. It is quite a light-coloured track surface here for the majority. It was relayed a few years ago, you'll remember. And
still only midday, remember?
Just coming on, 2 minutes to midday. The track surface was relayed here a few years ago and is a little darker than it used to be, so it does absorb the heat, but it does take a while. But what it does do is it doesn't lose its temperature quickly either.
Well, the track temperature is just about, well, let's call that 19 degrees, eh?
18.9, yeah. Humidity's still sitting at 52, but that was 63 this morning with that haze.
It's nice.
I suggested it would burn off.
Yeah.
It has.
You can see that the horizon.
We can
is
see
less
now
hazy.
Probably another couple of miles from what we could barely see the outskirts of the circuit this morning when we first came into the booth, and we will take some pictures and fire them up onto Twitter later on. And apologies again for not being able to look at the collective, etc. We have a single internet connection now, which Eve, as the responsible adult, has claimed quite rightly. She's listening in on RadioLeMond.com, as are many of you around the world, to this free practice one.
Change at the top of the screen there, John.
Anthony Davidson, for the first time, puts Toyota front and centre. This was the place, of course, they had their first win last year. The debut win of the maiden win, excuse me, of the TSO 30. See, now I've said that, that came into my mind. Is that right? Or have I made that up?
Sounded right.
I said it with confidence. Said, sounded so it must right. be in there somewhere.
That's a considerable chunk of time he's gone quicker on as well. It's about half a second.
Yeah.
He's now on a 22.635. That second place car is the number two Audi, this time with Luke Duval plugged in. And that car still sitting on its fastest lap of a 23.056. Nothing changed behind that. Trillier still in the number one Audi in third, and Nicholas Prost in the number 12 Lola in fourth.
Surprised how far away Nico is.
Yes, that car.
The Rebellion is 2.8 seconds away, a 25.4 to a 22.6.
Did we see how much aero out of the pits? That car had on the front of the Rebellion?
All of the P1 cars have got big aero on the front. Did you see the extensions on the Toyota?
Yeah.
It's a single plane, double plane dive planes on the Rebellion, the front of the Lola. The TSO30's got a single one, but it's huge. It's like a tea tray.
Yeah.
You could serve champagne from it. The 8-star Ferrari, bright orange machine, the 81 car, comes through. Second place for Enzo Patalizio at the moment. In the AM category, Christian Poulsen in the 95 Aston Martin, the best of the bunch there, but there's tiny 35.347, 35.554 are the two times between 35.614 for the Jack Gerber driven at the moment, Ferrari 61. So the top three in GTM separated by less than 0.3 seconds. And in fact, you can add Nick Johnson in the 57 Ferrari as well to that, who's also on a 35.710. And Jamie Campbell-Walter in the pits at the moment in the 96 Aston, 35.70. So not half a second between the top five in GTE AM. That seems to
That's
be working
pretty,
then.
Yep, we like that. More of that, please.
You'll be getting more of that, doubtless. In P2, David Enemar Hansen. Some very interesting comments from him on Twitter. If you don't follow DHH, you should do. Very interesting comments about the whole Guy Cosmo situation in the American Le Mans Series. The 24 Morgan out front at the moment. The Oak Racing French-entered machine that he shares with Olivier Platt and Alex Brundle. And he's got half a tenth, just over, between himself and Ricardo Gonzalez at the wheel of the 35 Oak Racing car. Ricardo, the Mexican, with two... With a Brit, Martin Plowman, and Bertie Breadstick, Bertrand Baguette, the Belgian, in the Morgan Nissan, 35. So 24, 35, and 49 with Luis Perez Compank, back at least on his home continent, in the 49 Picon car. That car's in the pits at the moment. And again, mere tenths of a second as Anthony Davidson puts in a very quick first sector for the TSO 30. Number eight.
We'll try and keep an eye on that one as it's a full second. Well, just under a second.
Can you read that?
42.3.
I can read. All right, it's beginning to come in now.
Another purple sector. That's a purple sector too, by the way, 42.3.
So that's two sectors completed by Davidson. Two fastest of this session. And, of course, fastest of the week so far for the number eight Toyota. And a 20-second 1:22. 980, so 0.3 seconds lost in sector three there, at least, as Anthony Davidson caught a little bit of traffic, and again he's just going past one of the AF Corsa Ferraris at the moment. It's the 51 car.
He's gone quicker by a tenth,
despite having to go around.
Yeah, despite having his exit compromised out of the Curva de Sol.
That was Jimmy Bruni that he was going by. At the moment, the blue and white Toyota resplendent in the bright sunshine now, with nary a cloud in the sky, as the Pecom Racing P2 car on its outlap with Luis Perez Compank pulls out of the way.
He's had the infield section very, very compromised.
I'm not
there,
sure.
By traffic. Let's see.
It's clear ahead of him now as he goes through the horseshoe.
I'll be amazed if it's quicker.
That's what that's called. And now begins that long climb up from...
Yeah, much slower. Sector 2.
42.6. Cross the start-finish line in about 10 seconds' time, if that. as he now turns into the first part of the... Effectively, it's a two-part final corner, isn't it, with a very short straight between it. He goes right into the pit lane and then heads towards it. I can lean over the screens and look down, and he's braking at about the 50-metre line.
22.7, John. He's less than a tenth. He's under a tenth. 22.7. 0.00 in difference to a 22.635.
Super late braking into...
And considering how much traffic he had on that lap, there's a lot of time still in that car.
Super late braking into turn number one. It's bumpy in the Curva de Sol braking area that he's coming through now, and plunges down the hill. Very dramatic circuit here, and well suited to sports cars. When we had the old GT1 Championship, the World Championship here, I remember watching that here. That was fantastic. 6-hour endurance races in the past for a variety of sports cars, including the World Championship here last year. Not disappointed yet. And Toyota on their home at the venue of their first victory. And shame we're not seeing the rest of that Anthony Davidson lap, because yeah, he's got a chance despite the fact he wasn't fast.
Purple in sector one.
But we know he's got time to make up. He's purple in sector two with a 42 flat. And he's got a pretty clear track for himself between here, halfway around, and the third sector.
He's across the line now.
19.5, his best third sector, and that is the fastest lap, and the first time we've seen anybody down into the 22s. 22.1, sorry, I'll take that back. He was in the 22s before. A 22.110.
Took about half a second off.
He's gone out 0.4 of a second. You're absolutely right.
It was a 22.635, his previous one. That's a 22.110. So that's a half a second there. And that's put him almost a full second ahead of the car in second place.
Loic Duval in the pit lane and Ben Trelew in the pit lane, the 2 and 1 Audi, respectively. Out goes the IMSA Performance Macmud Porsche. And that tricolour coloured car in this sunshine, those paint colours just pop fantastically. As it's Jörg Bergmeister in the 91 Porsche at the moment, who's coming around to complete a lap. Does he dive into the pit lane entry? Yes, he does, and he'll pop up from our left under the Tudor Bridge and goes across the line now. Does he improve? No, he does not. 35.7, the car's already done a 34.3. There is the IMSA Performance Macmud 76 Porsche running in the GT Am category at the moment. Down in the penultimate place at the moment, Jean-Carl Vernet just climbed aboard that car and come out of the pits. We might see that car improve. He's in behind one of his competitors there, Jack Gerber, who currently has the 61 Ferrari in second place, and gives ground to Jean-Carl, former Indy Lights champion, as he heads through the twisty infield section in that, as I say, gloriously colourful IMSA Perform. I've just noticed here, they've even gone to the trouble of painting the aerial red, white and blue as well on the back of the roof of that car. On board with Jean-Carl now as he begins that long climb. And all of those left-hand corners are back into the Porsche, getting away from him there as he got on the power, trying to pick up the throttle early. The Michelin's just giving up a little bit of their grip. He's got the 92 Works Porsche of Mark Lieb, the fastest GT car out there behind him. Interesting effect on the windscreen of that Works Porsche. I wonder if they've got a reflective film on that. It does seem to be making it like
a mirror.
Yeah. Have to have a closer look at that in the pits this afternoon. Jean-Carl Vernet just going through the centre S's now, with Lieb closing him down. That was a 35.1 from Lieb, and from Vernet that was a 30. I thought it was an outlap, so let's not worry about that. So Vernet now getting on to the power. I do like the fact that the Porsches have got a sticker either side on the doors and a sticker on the nose for Alan Simonson. Their Le Mans success video, very tastefully done, I thought. Toyota have just released their Le Mans video as well, and dedicated that to the memory and honour of Alan. And if you haven't seen that, there is a link to it on the RadioLeMans.com listeners collective on Facebook.
Now, he's being held up there on the infield, but I just noticed there, John, the way that the difference in the 76 Pro-Am Porsche mm-hmm. in difference to the Mark Lieb Pro Porsche in the 92, and the way that the car is set up, the way the car's handling.
Two different cars, of course.
It's pirouetting around that. You can see the way that the rear wheels are
which
helping
one
the
is?
Car turn, the Lieb car.
Yeah.
The way that car just...
Which is interesting because that car has the longer wheelbase mm-hmm. and the wider track. And you would, you know, you would think that car would be, you know, a little more difficult and a little more lazy to turn.
Well, they've obviously, the way they've set the car up to steer with the rear.
That's 997, of course.
Yeah.
A minimum of a year old for the IMSA Performance Matt Mudcourt car. Jean-Carl Vernier turns in to the centre S's and allows the factory Porsche to go through on a very wide middle sector of the centre S's. Indicator blinking.
Now, the way the car was turning there with the rear end just coming round, it's not an oversteer. It's they've got the car turning in with the rear. Does that make sense?
It is. It's pointy. Yes, yeah, it is.
They've got the rear
right.
end's brick coming round, but it's not a driver-induced oversteer.
No,
it's the way
they've got
it's
rotating around
yes.
the front.
Yeah.
And
that's engineered into the car to make it turn.
Hearing all kinds of rumours from Porsche. I've just noticed as well that we have got the leader lights working in this session as well. So one green light illuminated on the side of Mark Lieb's car. Aston Martin, Darren Turner second, Ferrari, Bruni third. So 92, 97, 51, three different cars, manufacturers in the GT Pro category, top three. Interesting listening to what the guys from what's coming out of Vysak about the potential for GTE AM versions of the 991 for 2014, because it will be a year old car, of course, at that point.
Yes.
I am hearing that the plan is at the moment to have a full extra year of Manti running that car.
Oh, really?
To develop the car. If you've been trawling the web, you will notice that the 991 GT3 launch videos are all out there. And a couple of interesting things that we noticed about that when we were looking at it in the airport, actually, on the way down here, was the street car is PDK only. First time, I think, for the GT3 that has been the case. But also, to my relatively untrained eye, the GT3 is running the same body package, other than the rear wing, but I'll put that aside for a moment. It's running the same body package as the car that the RSR has already homologated on. So not an extra width car. Which makes the decision to homologate the Carrera version, if you like, or at least the turbo version of the car.
Very crowded there on the back straight.
Makes that decision, or vindicates that decision, if Porsche knew they weren't going to have another iteration of the bodywork, then the homologation was done at exactly the right time. We were all wondering why it was done on the, not the GT3 car, but the more standard bodywork. Has that Audi got a lighting problem, that number one?
No, it's the way it translates on the TV.
I'm not sure, actually. I think that's the flash button.
You think it's flashing?
They've got a rapid flash on the Audi LEDs. Because
maybe he's doing that when he comes up to traffic.
It's
gone now.
They're static there.
Yeah.
The bright white LED headlights on the e-tron Quattro Audi, the number one car of Marcel Fazlet. As he comes up to... the 35 Oak Racing car, which has got Ricardo Gonzalez at the wheel, the second place P2 car.
We're keeping an eye on this car because this is going to be the next series of angry laps, let's call them.
Yes.
From the Audis, and let's just see how competitive they are going to be with regards to the Davison time in the Toyota of a 22.1.
Well, his outlap was a 27.1, so that's not hanging about, is it?
No. So he's on his...
His outlap was quicker than the whole P2 fields flying.
And he had lots of traffic.
Yeah.
That he didn't exactly rush past, he just took his time.
Sensibly, I thought.
Yeah.
Gian Maria Bruni in the 51 EF Corsa Ferrari, one of the ones with the tricolore side stripes and bonnet stripes. 28 cars registered, 28 cars have been out. And the temperature rises into the last 21 minutes of this, now 22.5 degrees. Track temperature sticking around about 18.9 degrees. Information on the track coming from our colleagues at Michelin. Thank you to them.
Faster time there across the line from the Davidson Toyota, John. He's now put a 121.881.
001, I think that is, isn't it? It's got to be 001. He was down to a 2.
Can't be.
He was down to a 2-2 something before. 21-2 before, so that must be 001. I see what you mean. Like, that does look more like an 8, doesn't it, if that's a 0?
I thought he was down to 22-1. He was down to a 22-1.
Oh, God, he's gone, yes. 21-8. Yes, sorry, yes. You're right. So he's now over a second ahead. Sorry, dear listener, our very large timing screens are very indistinct, particularly on the...
They're blurry, basically, aren't they? They're very
and
blurry.
Flashing a little bit as well. I think we need to turn the contrast down, actually.
That maybe that would do it, yeah. How do we do that?
Not a clue.
Not a clue, no. 19 minutes, just under 20 minutes then, left in this first practice session. Ooh, we've got the number 8 Toyota of Anthony Davison out on the track and looking very angry. And we've also got the Marcel Fassler number 1 Audi out doing its next series of fast laps. So we're going to get a look, our first look maybe, at just how these two cars are going to match up for the rest of the weekend.
Jimmy Brodie in the 51 Ferrari, as I said before, he's got a nice bit of clear track here. He's sitting in third position at the moment. The two cars ahead of him in GTE Pro, Mark Leib and Darren Turner, are both in the pits. Problem for the 57 car out on the circuit, the Krohn Racing Ferrari, is tootling round in the centre section. Don't know what the issue there. There's debris on the track as well. Driver's right turns 14 to 15. Now, what we don't have is a track map with the corner numbers on, which would be helpful. That's something else we'll add to the list of things we've got to do. Nick Manassian, yeah, out in the Pecom Orica for the first time, third in P2 at the moment, that car, the 49 car. Here comes Brini, having had a decent enough lap, I would say. Can he improve from his third position? No, he's pitted. So let's have a look at Tony Wielander coming across the line now. Has he improved? No, he has not. As Darren Turner and Mark Leib head back onto the circuit for the last 18 minutes. RadioLeMans.com, powered by Nissan. We know sports cars. Round 4 of the FIAWEC, exclusively live from Sao Paulo. And the circuit to Carlos Pache. Joe Bradley and John Hindorf in the booth for you today.
Davison across the line triggers that at a 24.8.
Oh, Fesler's just put a 20.6 in his... Or that car, 20.5. That car's fastest first sector. So an improvement here. This will get him down possibly into the 22s. If he can keep that pace up. He's behind one of the Astons as he comes down through the curve of Sol and down towards the lake turn at the bottom of the amphitheatre. The number 1 Audi now beginning to climb up into... No, sorry, he's further round than I thought.
Yes, he is.
He's
coming into sector 2.
Yeah, he's now coming into the last two corners.
The end of sector 2 is really towards the end of the lap.
Yeah, it's a short sector.
It's
that's
a
just
very
20
short sector.
Seconds. And a 23.4 is that car's fastest time, but half a second away from where I thought he would be. Into the centre S's again. Turns left, clatters the curb on the left. Almost all four wheels over the centre part, the right-hand part of that... Centre part of the chicane, drops the right-hand Michelins onto the green and yellow coloured curbs as he heads down now towards the curve of Sol, the left-hander that will pitch him down the hill and into the very bottom of the amphitheatre. And that is a flash button. That is absolutely a flash button in that very quick machine.
That's curve of Sol.
Yeah.
Who's going into that one?
Ah, sorry, my apologies.
The end of the straight. I don't know what that's called.
That's the lake curve.
Right.
Because that's the lake. So I've got them the wrong way around.
We'll get a proper track map so that we know where
he's got past the Labra competition Corvette and hasn't been held up too much. 20.6 and 40. Nah, lost a bit of time limit.
Second sector.
He's using a lot of exit curb, Joe. A lot of exit curb. The thing is, of course, this is so much a left-hand circuit that you barely get, when you're into the right-handers, you're barely using the left-hand tyres at all. It's hard to keep the pressures and the temps up.
That was a 24.239. That's about a tenth, just over a tenth off his quickest from the previous lap. Still nowhere near the Toyota at the moment.
No. So now he heads down that pit exit straight.
And some serious changes, I would imagine, going on the number two Audi, because that car's been in its pit garage now for a considerable length of time. So lots of tweaks and changes going on that one. That car, the number two Audi, still in second place from that very early lap time of a 23.056.
That's been in the pits for quite a long time now.
Pretty much in, coming up to, it's been there 45 minutes.
That may well have to be your first stop on the way down, unless Martin passes listening and can send. Have you got Skype open, Eve, for Martin to send you a message? Make sure you add him to the conversation. 8-star Ferrari back out on the circuit in second place in the AM category. Davide Rigon at the wheel of that car. Former Super League Formula driver. Saw him race in that and take a couple of race victories at the little, almost like a go-kart track, just in Italy, just south of... Now, where were we? I started that sentence and I knew I was going to struggle with where... We were.
Wasn't Vallelunga or something?
No. It was. It was a smashing little place. Place with the canals.
Venice.
Just south of Venice.
Lido di Gesla.
It was south of there. It was
south
lovely.
Of Venice.
Tiny little place.
A car track, did you say?
Well, it looked like it.
Oh, I see.
And there is Super League Formula there. It was great.
Oh, Adria.
Adria, thank you. Really enjoyed that weekend, and I've got a feeling that Rigon took both the races there. Certainly a very affable young man, clearly looking at a future in sports car racing, as the GTE AM best time has just been annexed by Aston Martin, who now have the best times in both categories, with Darren Turner in the Pro category in the 97 with a 33.8 and Jamie Campbell-Walter on a 35.3 in the 96 car, just going ahead of his teammate Nicky Thiem in the 95, and Davide Rigon finds himself down in third position all of a sudden.
Yeah, kind of stealth-like, snuck up on the lead Porsche just to snatch that fastest time in class. Looking at the P2 category as well, while we are concentrating on the timing screens, the number 24 Oak Morgan with Alex Brundle at the wheel, that is currently quickest in that class with just coming up to 12 and a half minutes left in the session. Alex Brundle with a 128.136 in difference to the second place car 35, Bertie Baguette with a 28.2.
I'm reminded by Declan Brennan, who's listening in up in New England, hello mate, that Davide Rigon won the Super League Formula title. I only saw him in a couple of races. That was the only two events that I did, filling in for Ben Edwards when he was doing some stuff.
Sedate pace in comparison then.
Well, he honestly impressed me the way he went about everything. Very nice guy. I hadn't met him up until that first weekend. I saw him in Adria.
If you can drive a high-powered, high-downforce single-seater like that...
They were difficult cars to drive. Yeah, a lot of people jumped into Super League Formula and didn't do as well as they expected. There were some big names.
That's a Formula car. That is a proper race car.
It was very interesting to see some of the big names who, as I say, went into there and drove and, you know, didn't make the mark you might expect. The two Ferraris at the moment having a bit of a side-by-side tussle are the 57 of Tracy Crone in the Crone Racing green car, and the 51 of, at the moment, Giancarlo Fisichella, side-by-side coming into the pit area. Not sure if Tracy Crone really needed to close down on the other car there, as Fisichella gives him a quick flash and they go across the line. He's going down the inside of him into the centre S's, and Tracy Crone gives him enough room onto the left-hand side of the circuit. And
he held him up considerably then. I'm sure if we had an in-car camera with in-car with Fisichella,
too close.
Seen more than just the lights he was flashing.
Too close there, coming through into the pit lane entry. It was You know, they were side by side for a moment there, and that's a very quick part of the circus.
Very nervous there. It looked like maybe
you were very nervous. How do you think Fisichella felt?
Yeah.
Stefan Sarrazin has now got into the number 8 Toyota for the last 10 minutes of the session.
I'm not sure that was Fisichella, John. I think that was car 61 that he was having the problems with, which is the other EF Corsa.
No, it was definitely 50.
The was 51 it the green car. Plate of the car, was it?
Yeah. Stefan Sarrazin's just jumped into the Toyota. So for the first time today, it is not Anthony Davidson behind the wheel. And Alan McNish... Ah, the Scotsman has been unleashed into the number 2 car, sitting in third position at the moment. Marcel Fesler has just jumped into second, as we suggested he might. He's found himself down on a 22.6 and has cut the Toyota lead to 8 tenths, back to 8 tenths of a second on that last time around. Alan McNish now 1.1 second, or at least his car 1.1 second, still with that 23.0 set very early on by Tom Christensen.
And yeah, I think there's time in those Audis. There's Fessler with a 22.6 there. It's that car's fastest lap. And has McNish been here before?
Yes, last year.
Nobody seems to know where he's been before.
All right, okay, I see. I see what you're doing. I see what you did there.
See where I went there.
Yeah.
So, the wily Scotsman has been unleashed. Would lead to see what the potential of the number 2 Audi is after what we perceive has been a myriad of changes. The car's been in its pit garage for the majority of this session. So,
well, you know, we say that, and then look at the amount of laps it's done. The Toyota's done 36. The two Audis have done 28 and 27.
We just haven't seen it on track, though.
No, I know. Every time we've looked at it, I wonder if it's just been doing short runs and, you know,
maybe
getting tweaked.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it's clearly cranked the laps in. 8.5 minutes to go. It's RadioLeMond.com live from Brazil. Round 4 of the FIA World Endurance Championship. We're powered by Nissan. We know sports cars. And thanks also to Michelin for their input this weekend as well. Track temperature, the Michelin track temperature now up to a heady 18.9, that's about where it's been.
Where
the
it
air
was,
temperature,
yeah.
Is that 22.5?
It's gone up about a degree, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's gone up again. But the track temperature
stayed
pretty.
It was 18.9 the last time.
I wonder
we
where
it.
They're taking that. Whether it's still in the shade, in the pits.
No, they wouldn't, surely.
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
I mean, I know they'd usually take it in the pits, but on the sunny side of the track, so to speak.
Nick, the team's just got into the 95 Aston, which leads the 96 in Pro Am, with the Davide Rigon driven 81 Ferrari in third, 95, 96, and 81 in Am. In Pro, Darren Turner 97 from 92 Mark Lee. Darren Turner just going back out onto the track. Giancarlo Fisichella in third, Aston Porsche Ferrari in P2. Haven't talked too much about P2. They've been reeling off the laps, haven't seen too much of them on the screens. Alex Brundle now in the leading Morgan Oak, the 24 car, 28.1 for that car. 28.2 for Bertrand Baguette in the 35 Morgan. The Orica of Nick Manassi in the Pecom 49 car is in the pit lane with a 28.3 to its name. Mike Conway aboard the 26 Orica.
It's a nice synergy in the top three there, P2, isn't it? Just a tenth between them.
Yeah. And then it's the 32 Lotus with Thomas Holzer out there at the moment. Christian Zugel in the Greaves Zytec 41 next up. And again, they're within spitting distance, not a second. In fact, down to Zugel is just on a second, isn't it? For the top half dozen or so of the P2 cars.
Fasler puts a personal best in sector one on that lap there.
I think they might just be doing a quick little simulation here of qualifying.
You reckon? Six minutes? Just coming up with 6 minutes left.
6 minutes, Dougie Fresh, you're on.
McNish, I'm afraid, has been bulked considerably on his last couple of laps. So he got a lovely drag down the straight off the P2 Lotus. Didn't cause him any hassle whatsoever, but he has been bulked considerably by a GT.
He's in clear air now, though, as he's down at the bottom of the amphitheatre. See, if you look carefully, you do get a little glimpse of them over there.
Yeah, they're about to come across the line now, Fasler.
And here's McNish. Let's look to the left under the Tudor Bridge. McNish is in the pit lane, out of the pit lane, foot down. He's got the IMSA Performance Matmut Porsche ahead of him, goes across, three lights lit on the side, 23.9 for Alan last time around.
And then the lap that Fassler put his personal best in sector one, the rest of the lap must have been ruined because it was a, it came out as a 26-2, so traffic coming into play there, not allowing us to see the full potential of the Audis, I'm afraid.
Dazzle DT out in the 97 car. You can bet your bottom dollar he spent some time in the simulator. Base performance simulators moved to new premises recently and now have a spanking new GT cockpit to aid with driver development, and can't wait to get over there and have a little look at that. If you heard our original inside story, it was a good day out and learned an awful lot from Darren and the team across there. Looking forward to going and having another look with the GT car there. And he comes across the line, breaks down into the centre S's, just to the right of us. Quite a drop there, as we mentioned earlier on.
Paddock Hill drop, that.
Yeah,
man.
I did tell you that. Yeah. You didn't believe me. You raised an eyebrow when I said that to you.
I didn't think it was as extreme as it was, as it's turned out in reality.
And how many times have you seen this on television over the years?
Well, that's what I mean, yeah.
Darren with a 35-0 last time around, just getting up to speed. Stefan Sarazan did a 23 flat and his first flyer in the leading Toyota. And by that I mean it's the only Toyota, but it's leading the P1 category. Nico Prost back into the pit lane. Rebellion now 3.5 seconds off the best time in P1. It's 24, 35, 49, 26, 32 and 41, the top half dozen in P2, separated as we said by about a second, in bit of a gap, half a second gap in the pro category between Darren Turner and the rest of the field. Pretty close from then on. 34-1 34-2 34-3 34-3 34-5 and 34-7 is the rest of the field, and Turner with a 33-6, rather spoiling that party there.
Yeah,
as the 98 Aston has been reported for crossing pit lane. Who's in the 98 at the moment? Paul Dallalana just come out of the pits. The car was reported on the way in, so that must have been a late
turn in.
Yeah. And fair play to Paul Dallalana, by the way, for getting that 98 car together with Pedro Lamy, Richie Stanaway. Good to see five Astons, the Aston squadron lined up line astern in the pit lane. So we have once again an Aston world down there. When you go down at the pit lane, they have five pits as one.
Oh,
and it's right. Like walking into an Aston theme park. It's fantastic stuff.
Fassler in the number one Audi has come into the pits.
And so with 2.5 minutes to go, that will be the end.
John, you maybe have been right there about a simulated qualifying run, because he's come into the pits because of fuel, of course.
Yeah. Ooh, big slide there by Stefan Sarazan coming through the centre S's and out onto the pit entry straight. He drops in to the pit line. Oh, now somebody's just gone off that in front of the Toyota, right in the middle of the
Fassler straight back out. Interesting, by the way, he's come in, taken on enough fuel for maybe another couple of laps, maybe two or three laps, and he's gone straight back out.
Made a line out to me. I thought that would be the end of it for them.
Yeah, so did I, but they're obviously interested to see what the full potential of that setup is. So he's gone straight back out. There's a minute and 30 on the clock, so he's going to come round and have time for at least one flying lap. McNish still hasn't beaten that initial time of Christensen.
He hasn't got into the 23s, has he?
1:23.056. He's in the 24s at the moment.
He's just going through the horseshoe at the moment, and ahead of him, he's got a gaggle of GT cars, including the number 91. That's the number one car, not the number two.
Yeah, I'm looking at the number one car now, John, and seeing that he has, if he's hoping for a clear lap for this run, he's going to be maybe disappointed.
Sarazander's a 23.9 last time around, and he's got a bit of space as the number one car catches what? One, two, yeah, three GT cars going into the Senna S's. And that will really annoy Marcel Fesler with just 33 seconds on the lap. This is his last time around this fabulous circuit. Sunshine, blue skies, temperatures in the early 20s, 23.1 degrees in the air, and 18.9 degrees, the Michelin track temperature here at Sao Paulo, Interlagos. John Hindhoff and Joe Bradley bringing the action to you in the closing seconds of FP1, and we're down to the last five. The checkered flag is being unfurled. Stefan Sarrazin gets caught up in behind Alex Brundle, who himself is caught up behind a couple of GT cars, including the Corvette of Labra Competizione. He's behind the wheel of the Corvette at the moment. I've changed screen, so I can't do that now.
Of course, let's not forget that we're not going to have the issue of GT cars getting in the way and qualifying.
No, true. True that.
Let's not get too excited.
But the race, however...
Well, the race is a different matter.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen the full potential of the Audis. I think the time, the laps that those guys had put in to try the optimum as the checkered flag flies to end our first session here at Interlagos, first session of the weekend, with the Toyota heading the field.
Yeah, let's have a quick rundown before we wrap this up for you. Stefan Sarrazin in the car. The time done by Anthony Davidson, a 21.881, 8 tenths of a second. The number 8 Toyota ahead of the rest of the field, which is headed by Marcel Fesler in the reigning championship winning Audi, the number 1 car. Second in the championship at the moment, though. He's some almost 4 tenths of a second ahead of the Alan McNish driven number 2 Audi, which comes to the line now and still hasn't had a clear lap. 23.263 for Al, his best lap. The car's best lap at 23.0, which I'm pretty certain was Tom Christensen. The fourth of the P1 cars, number 12 Lola Rebellion, Nico Prost in that car at the end on a 25.4. Best of the P2s, it's Morgan Oak, Alex Brundle, and that car credited with a 28.1. 28.2 for Bertrand Baguette's 35, Morgan Oak, and then the first of the Orica's, Nick Manassian, with a 28.3 in the 49 Pecom Car Championship. Certainly still in them with a shout of the championship for that 49 team. The Orica 26, the G Drive car, Mike Conway in that 28.9. 29 flat for Thomas Holzer in the first of the Lotus, both Lotus here this weekend. And Christian Zugerland, the Graves Sitech, makes up the top six on a 29.1 as well. In the pro category, Aston Martin from Porsche from Ferrari, 97, 92, and 51. And Darren Turner leading the way this morning with a 33.6, really demoralising the opposition led by the Le Mans winning Porsches. Mark Leib, the 92 car, in second place on a 34.1, then very tight right through to the rest of the class, with barely half a second between the next five cars. The 51 of Fisichella on a 34.2, Wielander in the Ferrari 71, 34.3 for Bergmeister in the second of the Porsche, Dallolana 34.5 in the 98 Aston, Rob Bell 34.7 in the 99 car. That car a little bit off the pace there this morning in Nicky Team heads it for Aston, and in fact it's an Aston 1-2 with the 95 and 96 car. Stuart Hall in the 96 at the end, 35-2 and 35-3. 135.5 for Davide Rigon in the AM Ferrari, the number 81 car. Interview with the Super League Formula champion on FIAWEC this afternoon, FIAWEC.com. I am told. Thank you for that piece of information. And there we are then, 28 cars are here. 28 cars have completed a competitive flying lap. We've seen the first bids, at least, in this fourth round of the FIA World Endurance Championship. The temperature continues to rise. We have another hour and a half later on today, which will be exclusively live, powered by Nissan, here on RadioLeMans.com for the responsible adults. And also for Tim Gray, our executive producer in London. Alongside me, Joe Bradley, I'm John Hindhoff. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you come back for more action from the Autodrome Carlos Pache here at Interlagos. No time to explain. The llama needs lunch.